Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
And ladies and gentlemen, we got ourselves a World Series.
Not really.
We got to have a day off because it got so hot and heavy in Game 1 for the Dodgers. Same thing for the Rays in Game 2. All take a deep breath. Game 3 Friday. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Football talk is coming in 2 minutes. I know you got the Giants and the Eagles starting out week number 7. We're all over it. J. Will is battling a little bit of a tooth ailment. He will be back soon. Speedy recovery to our friend J. Will, and we'll have him back here soon enough. Soon enough, Key. A lot of people thought it was going to be a Dodgers sweep after game 1. How do the Rays match up with the Dodgers offense? Well, you get a good pitching performance of your own from your Cy Young Award winner from a couple years ago, and you get two home runs from a guy that couldn't hit a beach ball in the postseason, and you're right back in this thing.
Yeah, I never thought it would be a sweep. I always said a 5-1. I gave them the one. They got the one. Now I think the Dodgers kick it in a high gear. We get Walker Buehler back on the mound for us in game 3. I think that when you look at that, although they're going up against Charlie Martin, we don't know a whole lot about him. Good guy. We don't know a whole lot about him. But we do know about Walker Buehler, and when he's hot, he's dealing. That's the way we like things. Our bats have to turn around. We got a slow start last night. They were already out in front of us. We tried to play catch up. We ran out of innings. That's the way I look at it. There's no panic in my voice whatsoever. It's baseball, right? I mean, it's not like when the Lakers were up, and then all of a sudden you look up and it's 3-2. That was a different type of feeling. This is baseball. All it takes is one or two bats, and it swings.
This is just the fifth day off since the Major League Baseball playoffs began. They want to speed this through and get it done. Game 3 tomorrow, ESPN Radio, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Before we talk a little football, give me 10 seconds to mention a little basketball note for some of our listeners that were with us late last hour. We were wondering if the Van Gundys had ever coached together. Stan just got the Pelicans job. Jeff, who currently does badging at ESPN every day, might be badging in with the Houston Rockets for the second time in his career. They were together in the league in Miami, Stan from 03 to 05, and Jeff with the Rockets from 03 to 05. So they could be reunited in the league again. That was just something we discussed earlier. Now let's discuss a little football. It's a pleasure to welcome in Bart Scott, 11-year NFL veteran. He's going to join us for the next couple of hours. Great to have him here, former Jet, former Raven. We're going to talk about perhaps a future Seahawk. Great to have Bart here. Bart, I want you to listen to this from Adam Schefter, the NFL's best insider, on the chance that A.B. Antonio Brown is back in the NFL and back pretty soon. Listen to this.
The Seattle Seahawks are positioned to make a push to sign Antonio Brown, though they are not alone. There are other teams also interested in Antonio Brown's services, but it looks like there's a possibility that he could be back as soon as week 9. And Seattle is one of the teams making plans right now or preparations to pursue him.
What do you make of it, Bart? Good morning.
Good morning. I heard Key, speaking of Buster, saying that, you know, he should be the insider to watch out for his job. I mean, come on, man. Like, this is the worst kept secret in football.
You mentioned it yesterday when you were with us.
Well, exactly. We knew that, you know, when you thought about Russell Wilson, he's putting, you know, more of a team on his back than anybody. I think he's the clear-cut MVP right now. But they understand with that defense, which is porous, I understand it has Jamal Adams. But that team needs to be able to outscore people because they don't have the defense. It's not it's the Legion without the boom. You know what I mean? They can't really stop anybody right now. You think about some of the yardage in which they've given up, even with Jamal Adams. So we understand that they have to get more explosive, try and win the time of possession. And, you know, you love what McCaffrey has become. You know he needs a partner who can get those windows short routes, you know, who can have a bubble screen, a slant. Antonio Brown is one of the best route runners in the game. I think it's going to be multiple teams that's bidding for his services. Keyshawn understands that, you know, we know he has a checkered pass. But production breeds tolerance. And as long as he can help you win, you'll tolerate certain things that come along with Antonio Brown. Hopefully he doesn't show up with the crew. You know, follow him around and documenting everything. He understands that this is all about business, football, reestablishing his brand so he can get in the NFL and maybe have a future past this season.
I think, look, certain teams out there have things in place to help guys that have had issues within, you know, off the field or whatever the case is. Just some sort of counseling, guidance, mentorships, whatever it may be. And I think Seattle is a perfect situation for him because Pete Carroll has somewhat he's used to dealing with that, whether it was back at USC in college, dealing with players that, or whether it was drafting guys that had risk issues or whether it was signing free agents or trading for guys that may have some risk issues. Much like Bart said, You're willing to take that risk on? There could be potential rewards at the end of the day. Fabulous football player, phenomenal, Hall of Fame resume, all of those sort of things. You would hope and you would pray that all this time off has had him reflect on a lot of things that have gone sideways in his life, that now he has another opportunity, another one, to get it right with a team that's 5-0, that in the end, if you don't, bam, get out. That's what's going to happen. They're going to cut bait the moment that he sneezes wrong.
Right.
Well, if they sign him.
Well, it's interesting to me that they decide to go with Antonio Brown instead of going back with Flash Gordon.
Well, they haven't decided to go with anybody yet,
Bart. But you know what I'm saying? Like, he's coming up in consideration. I don't know, you know, between him and Flash Gordon.
Josh Gordon's the man, right?
Yeah, Josh Gordon.
But if you look at
– he was there before. You talk about another big physical receiver. He doesn't have maybe the short area quickness that Antonio Brown has, but I think they would maybe want that. And maybe even get greedy and go for two. I don't know what Flash Gordon's status is. I know he's – been reinstated, he applied for reinstatement again. He was with them last season, so he understands the playbook. He's already developed that chemistry with Russell Wilson. I think they're going to have a lot of competition because, like I said, you know, you talk about another environment like that, I would think that would be with the Ravens, who I feel understand that they're a little bit behind as far as Lamar Jackson struggling last week, you know, against the Philadelphia Eagles to throw the ball from the pocket. And you can win a lot of games the way that the Ravens play. You can't win a Super Bowl or a playoff game, you know, the way the Ravens play against equal competition. So I think those are two teams that are going to be equally enticing to Antonio Brown. And it's funny, a player that's coming off an 8-game suspension, missed all last year, has leverage because he's going to have multiple people bidding for his services.
But if you are Antonio Brown and you got the Ravens,
mm-hmm,
and you got the Seahawks.
Yep. I'm picking the Ravens.
You're picking the Ravens.
And the reason why is because, you know what I'm saying, their defense can fight their way out of a wet paper bag. You can say everything you want about Seattle. Their defense is horrible. I mean, they're giving up over 400 yards a game. I understand that you have an easier path because maybe you're not have to go through Kansas City, but, you know, it's still a gauntlet that they have to go through as well out there. So I'd rather go to a more complete team where it's not all about the offense. And if the offense has a hiccup, that defense in Baltimore can carry the day as well. And you don't understand that they're both in that same window where they're trying to win a championship. But if I had to pick between the two, the more complete team with a better kicker, you know, everything you need to win a championship, and he knows that division as well because he lived in that division for so long, so he understands the team that he'll be going against, he'll feel a lot more comfortable.
But could Seattle's defense be Kansas City's defense of last year, meaning that they struggled until it was time to get right, and they got right in just enough time to get the championship.
I just don't see it, you know, because, you know, I think they signed Snacks to try and solidify maybe that defensive line.
I have no idea who Snacks is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Harrison.
Damon Harrison.
I'm like, Snacks.
Yeah, he loves eating candy, loves eating snacks.
So it became
we gave him that. He, you know, he started with us in Baltimore, then he went to the Giants.
Right.
Yeah.
And his name's Snacks Harrison. He got let go from Detroit. But he's one of the best run stoppers in the last, what, you know, five seasons, you know, grading out-wise. He's getting a little old in the tooth, but they try to, you know, that tells you that Seattle's reaching. They brought in Jamal, but, you know, they don't have any pass rushing. So you talk about in the game, you're going to go against better teams with better offense, better quarterbacks. You want to have a defense that can be able to, you know, get you the ball back. Because you can take the ball and play keep away from Seattle because their defense is so bad that you can keep Russell Wilson on the bench.
You know, as much as I like Lamar Jackson as a receiver, I ain't gonna be able to do it right now. I got to go with Russell Wilson.
Well, but he's been, I feel you. But he's been with Lamar Jackson all offseason because he's friends with Hollywood. You know, his cousin is Hollywood Brown. You know, so they trained the entire offseason, so they should have chemistry off the bat.
He's speaking of Hollywood Brown, Marquise Brown, the young
receiver. I got to start explaining my drops. My bad.
No doubt. That's why we're here. You got the insight. And I did interview Snacks Harrison once. His favorite snacks, by the way, is gummy bears. A very hard-hitting question. I made sure I asked him. Last couple things on AB.
That sugar.
AB. Remember, this is an 8-game suspension, not an 8-week suspension. So that's a distinction because it depends when your bye is. 8 games, 8 weeks. There is a little bit bit of a difference there. AB last year, three teams in 7 months. And if he signs with Seattle or somebody else, it'll be four in 19. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, including Adam Schefter, on the other suitors for AB at 8:45. A reminder, it's champion versus champion at UFC 254 when Khabib takes on Gaethje coming up this Saturday. Nurmagomedov and Justin Gaethje. Special start time, 2 Eastern, only on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. UFC 254 exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $64.99. That's again Nurmagomedov and Gaethje. Visit ESPN Plus/PPV for more details. We'll talk to Dana White, UFC president, about this card and that main event coming up at 9:30. We also want to hear your thoughts on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Essentially today's question, or on the Twitter feed, Key J and Z. The Browns are fill in the blank. And be nice and watch your language. Still to come, it's a battle of one-win teams with the winner tonight finding themselves in first place in week number 7 of an NFL season. That's next on ESPN Radio and smart speakers everywhere.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had, happened in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend starts here. Thankfully, it won't end here because we don't want to have our last football memory of Week 7 be
the
Giants.
Game of the week, baby. Game of the week.
It's the game of the night because it's the only one on the schedule. We can at least say that.
Jeez. But a good thing is when two bad teams play each other, they're usually exciting games because they're equally matched. So they're equally bad. So that means it's going to be an entertaining, at least entertaining game.
That is true. Or it could go the other way real quick too.
Right.
One of those teams could step up and the other team could be really bad like you thought, right? I mean, the NFL should be able to have the ability to flex out of stuff like this,
but
though.
You can't flex Thursday, then. How you going to tell somebody, yo, you got to play on Thursday? That's almost a punishment. You know what I mean? Tell them you got to play on Thursday on a short week. So it is what it is.
Flex it out. You see it coming. You like, a week ago, you knew that the Giants and the Eagles were in this position. You tell them, say, man, we're going to push y'all to Sunday, and we're going to move somebody from Sunday to Thursday. That's good.
And what's going to be the cause? Conduct detrimental to the game?
Yeah, that would be it.
You go cancel our casual fans? Keistra Diamond, so put it in law. Keistra Diamond tells us that it's a wrap. No, you know, no game tonight.
So a couple things there. If you're not familiar with the word flex, it essentially means to be able to move one game from one time to another, move it from day to night. And that essentially can happen in the NFL after about week 11. So the television networks can get more marquee matchups and more fans to a wider available of audience can see better games. So that's
like
the flex option.
Source over there,
man. Well, we should also mention that everybody does play on a Thursday night. So to your point, Bart, yes, it's 3 days early. But since every single team in the league does have a Thursday game, yes, it would cause a little bit of friction. But it is something that everybody does have to undergo at least once a season.
It should be a punishment. You bad, you don't play on Thursday nights. It's a punishment. You're going to move you to Sunday. You forfeit your Thursday night.
Yeah, well, you know, this acts as a mini bye. So this is an opportunity for whatever team wins. And it's usually the team that's on the road that's at the disadvantage because they have to travel. But let's be honest. These teams are within an hour travel of each other. So that won't be the issue. It'd be interesting to see if they decide to drive up or take a train up the day of instead of having to put them in a hotel. That way you can socially distance them in a COVID type of environment that we're in.
Yeah, I don't know how they traveled.
Because of COVID, I would say they would probably just drive up because it's only an hour and a half drive, yeah. Or it's an hour on the train. They get their own special cart, and they come up that
do way. Everything at the facility,
yeah.
And then bus to the stadium an hour and a half or whatever.
Yep.
That way they don't have to waste time.
Indeed, because you're going from East Rutherford, New Jersey to Philadelphia. It'll be the Giants and the Eagles. So the respite, the long week, 10 days off, as Bart said, would come from the Giants because they are the road team, limited fans in attendance tonight. And oh, by the way, not that it needs to be mentioned because these teams don't deserve it, but the winner of this game will have two wins and they'll wake up tomorrow tied for first place with the Dallas Cowboys. Two wins 7 weeks into the NFL season, putting you at the top of your division. So let's break down both sides. Let's start with our Giants reporter, Jordan Renan. Remember, coming off that first win of the Joe Judge era against the Washington football team on Sunday, but still plenty of problems. Jordan, what is wrong with Daniel Jones and the Giants offense?
Daniel Jones and the Giants offense haven't played that well early this season. They struggled badly to run the ball the first few weeks. They've gotten better in recent weeks, but they're still not a great running team. Their offensive line, it struggles to protect. The result, they're averaging 16.8 points per game. That's 31st in the NFL. Only the Jets are worse. And then there's Jones. You were hoping to see that jump, that leap in year two, that growth. That's really what this Giants season is all about. They need to finish this season and feel that Daniel Jones is 100% their future franchise quarterback. And in order to have that feeling, he needs to play better. He needs to show more than he did his rookie year. Instead, you see a lot of the same mistakes. He's thrown three touchdown passes in six games. Dwayne Haskins has thrown more. And the turnovers that were his biggest problem his rookie year, it's still a problem so far this season. 9 turnovers in 6 games. That's not going to do it.
That's not going to do it. So that's Jordan's essential observation. He's just got to ride out the year, get better, cut down on the turnovers. That's plaguing the Giants offense. In your mind, Bart, what's wrong with the Giants offense?
I mean, right now it's the offensive line, right? Solder opted out. They thought that Thomas was going to, you know, come in and solidify that left side. They wanted him to play right tackle, but he's been forced to play left tackle. And last week he was benched because he was late to a meeting. And he really has been the worst of all the tackles in this class. So this is about Gettleman and what he's brought in to surround, you know, this team, because this offensive line was supposed to be the strength of this team. You talk about, you know, he made the big acquisition for Solder. He traded in the Odell trade. He brought over Zeitler, who was a Pro Bowler from Cleveland. And this was supposed to be the cherry on top, you know, with the young tackle from Georgia and Thomas. And it just hasn't worked out. He's getting beat like a turnstile. And they have to figure things out. And also, you have to give Danny Dimes a little, you know, credit to say that, you know, not credit, but you have to kind of pause on him because he's learning a new system. So this is his second year learning a new system. I don't think they have a problem at quarterback. I think they have a problem with the structure of their team. The fact that Saquon Barkley isn't there, they don't have a threat at the running game, at the running position, and they don't have a great offensive line. So teams are just stacking a box. And then they're getting to him, and he has the junior whopper hands. Nobody's had more fumbles, you know, than Danny Dimes since, you know, being in the league, maybe Jameis Winston last year. And he has to learn how to keep two hands on the ball. But when you're running for your life and he's the leading rusher on their team, that's an issue.
That's a lot.
Not a Danny Dimes problem, yeah.
Bart said a lot, though. He's right. He's got offensive line problems. The running back and Saquon Barkley's not there. The running game is suffering. There's no legit wide receiver to go with a young quarterback. It's hard to evaluate Danny Dimes or Daniel Jones or whatever you want to call him. It's hard to evaluate him given the fact that they haven't really surrounded him with anything. I hate to bring the Jets into this equation, but it's almost like Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
I have nothing to work with. I just have nothing to work with.
We call it chicken salad out of chicken, you know what.
And right now, the Giants stand as a one-win team. Baker Mayfield said, particularly at this point, even though the Browns are 4-2, he feels like the team is 0-6. So we're asking folks this morning on the Dr. Pepper call-in line at 888-SAY-ESPN. Get in right now, 888-729-3776. Simple game, simple call. Won't take much. The Browns are Fill in the blank. You use any adjective, any word that you want within reason. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, or hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Bust out the phone at KeyJNZ, and we will get to your thoughts on the Browns, who, yes, are 4-2, but feel like 0-6 in just a minute. So they are the Giants struggling in numerous ways, as Bart and Key said. On the other side, it isn't really great for Philadelphia either. Tim McManus is our Eagles insider. He's with them every day of the year. And we asked him a little earlier the question all Birds fans are wondering. Are we going to see a little more Jalen Hurts tonight?
The second-round pick has made some waves in the opportunities that he's gotten so far this year. Check out these stats. The Eagles have used the two-quarterback look 18 times so far this season. It's generated 189 yards. That's a 10.5 average and two touchdowns. And that's really good, especially when you stack it up against what the offense has done in the other packages so far this season. Head coach Doug Peterson has acknowledged that he needs to incorporate Hurts a little bit more. And I think that's especially true given that Miles Sanders and Zach Ertz are both going to miss this game because of injury. So it only makes sense that we're going to see a little bit more Jalen Hurts sprinkled into the offense.
Is that the start of something that we're going to see a little bit more of, Key?
Well, you know what? It's all fun and games and gadget plays and things like that. But I want to see him underneath center. I want to see him play the position in which you drafted him at. Maybe not right now because you still believe in Carson Wentz, a guy that you gave all the money to and the contract, and you tried to build this team around, helped you get to a Super Bowl and win it, so I get that. But I want to see Jalen Hurts play the position. I don't need to see him line up a receiver and motion around and flip the ball to him and on a reverse and throw back. I don't want to see that. I want to see him under the center in traditional style at the quarterback spot so we know exactly what he could potentially be in the NFL, Bart.
And you better be careful, you know, and he better be careful, you know, Jalen Hurts, because you look at the kid down in New Orleans, what's his name, Hill?
Taysom Hill.
Like, you start doing that and start getting those good plays, they start using you more as a running back than actually a quarterback.
Absolutely.
But when you look at what Carson Wentz has been, like, we talk about a guy that was 3 years ago was an MVP candidate. Mm-hmm. He's still a young quarterback. Everything that Jalen can do, he can do. Maybe not as well, but he's not some lumbering statue in the back like Drew Bledsoe, deer in headlights. You know, he's a guy that's still mobile as well, and that's actually what's hurt, you know, Carson Wentz early in his career. The fact that he's tried to extend plays too much and not give up on them, he's got those injuries while he's scrambling and trying to dive in. You think about the ACL, the Haloti Ngata hits him, he's diving into the end zone, tears his ACL. But he's still a capable, you know, quarterback to me. And you look at what the problem is with Philadelphia, it's the offensive line. Once a strength, like in Dallas, once a strength, once one of the best offensive lines, you start seeing Kelce. He hasn't been the same, you know, player since the Super Bowl. You think about Lane Johnson. You think about the decline of Jason Peters, who they asked to play guard, but then because their left tackle went out, and he went up. So then at the end of the day, what do you have? No quarterback in this league can perform at a high level under duress constantly, right? And I thought they took a reach with Riegler at, you know, they had an opportunity to get a dynamic receiver, and they didn't, right? And this Fulgham kid is playing well. But Philadelphia has played well, Key. They have been in the game. They came back after being down against Baltimore last week. They came back in a two-point conversion from tying that. You know, they should have beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, but, you got to finish. The good thing is they're in the division that they're in. But if any team out of this division can turn it around and maybe have a bad record but play well in the playoffs, I think it's the Philadelphia Eagles.
I think they can win the division for sure. When you look at the hobbled team in and out of the lineup, whether it was DeSean Jackson, the receiver, whether it's Zach Hurts, whether it's Jalen Rigger, whether it's the offensive line, they move. You mentioned Jason Peters goes from guard, says I want more money to move back to tackle. They take care of that. Taco, then yeah. He gets hurt. Yeah. So it's like it's a lot of issues. But the main issue to me is the quarterback. Mm-hmm. You can't turn the football over at the quarterback spot. And far too many times, Carson Wentz has given the ball to the other team. Yeah. And I think that is one of the major problems with the Eagles, because they've been, for the most part, in every single game until he starts to turn the football over.
It's scared straight, though, Key. He got sacked 6 times last week. When you keep hitting your head on the ground, you start seeing ghosts.
But he didn't have any turnovers last week.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I'm talking about the duress that he's under, man. The Ravens, I mean, I think Calais Campbell set his personal best with 3 sacks last week. We're talking about it from a defensive tackle. That means your offensive line is getting a butt kicked in the interior, and it's instant pressure in your face.
Yeah, I threw my first pick because I had pressure in my face.
Keep making excuses. Just making excuses. Just make plays, bro. Come on. No,
come on, man. You can't be making excuses with no Ronnie Lott jersey on, bro.
I will give an excuse to Carson Wentz. As you know, the Eagles' offensive line is completely and totally decimated. Rager's had a bit of a thumb injury, so his career hasn't gotten out to the start that he would like. A thumb is important for a receiver. I'm not a receiver, Key, but he's got a thumb injury.
No, I just no, you got to have your hands, right? I mean, that's...
Right. He had a thumb injury early. He hasn't been able to contribute very much. Who is contributing for the Browns? Certainly not anybody on Sunday, the way that they were absolutely taken to the woodshed by the Steelers. So we're asking you this morning on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Browns are, and you tell us the rest, or hit us up at KeyJNZ on Twitter. Let's get to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line with Adam Schefter at 845 with much more NFL talk. But let's take your calls right now. Gideon in Chicago, fill it in, man. The Browns are...
For real, the Steelers are a very, very good team, probably the best team in the AFC. The only thing I think the Browns are really missing is an elite quarterback. They have a good defense. They have playmakers around their quarterback. They have a good running game. So they're for real, but they're missing an elite quarterback.
Fair enough. Of course, we should mention they've been looking for that elite quarterback since 1999 when they returned to the National Football League. I'm just stating facts here. I mean,
Tim Couch.
I was just about to say Tim Couch, Jeff Garcia,
Derek Anderson. Remember all these guys? Brady Quinn,
Johnny Manziel. You said Derek Anderson?
Yeah, the list goes on.
Tyrod Taylor.
Yep.
You said Johnny Manziel. Trent Dilfer.
Yep. List goes on and on and on. We will take it or shake it, with I think everybody shaking the Browns right now after we run through SportsCenter.
The 0-2 and a swing and a ball sent to left field. Hit pretty well. Going to back Taylor, and it's off the top of the wall and gone. Another opposite field home run for Brandon Lau. His second home run of the game, and the Rays now lead 5-0.
That's Dan Shulman on ESPN Radio. They win. Brandon Lau, who had been struggling massively in the postseason, busting out at just the right time. Two home runs. Not bad for $1.5 million. One of the biggest games in franchise history. They'll take $1.50. They'll be off today. Game three, Walker Buehler, Charlie Morton. Coverage begins. Pre-game coverage on ESPN Radio 7:30 Eastern. Several teams are thinking about signing Antonio Brown. His suspension is over. After 8 weeks of the season, Adam Schefter, as I mentioned, the NFL's best insider here at 8:45 a.m., Eastern, of course, with the other teams that are in the mix. We just talked about the Eagles and the Giants. In fact, we'll talk about them more here in just a second. They will kick off Week 7 on Thursday Night Football. The winner of this game will have two wins and will find themselves tomorrow morning when they wake up tied with the Dallas Cowboys for first place in the NFC East. Yes, that could be a two-win first-place team 7 weeks into the season. And SportsCenter is brought to you by Sport Clips. Remember, being at Sport Clips, waiting for that great MVP haircut experience. How about making that wait time even shorter? Now with on-deck text alerts, get a 15-minute heads up when it's time to head in, and another text alert when you're next in line. Sport Clips, it's good to be a guy.
I think you may want to explain to our guests.
Indeed. If you are listening for the first time this morning, welcome aboard Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. And Bart is here for the first time. So essentially, Bart, it's as easy as it comes. Take it or shake it. Take it means we're going for it. Shake it means get it out of here. We'll give you a simple scenario, and we will see what the fellas think. So let's start it out, as I mentioned, right back to the NFL, Giants, Eagles. Take it or shake it. Key, let's start with you. Jalen Hurts should play 20 snaps at quarterback for the Eagles tonight. Take it or shake it.
Take it!
Take it!
Of course he should play 20 snaps. I mean, you drafted him. You want to get him in there, get to see what he is at the quarterback spot. Again, I don't really want to see him run around on gadget plays. I know that he's an athlete and he could do some of the same things that maybe a Taysom Hill was able to do in New Orleans, or maybe some of the things that Lamar Jackson burst onto the scene a couple years ago when Joe Flacco was in at the quarterback spot. I don't want to see that, though. I want to see him drop back underneath center, throw the football to the receivers, give them something to think about on the defensive side of the ball.
Let me say like Key said, take it! Well, I'll tell you what. Well, listen, if he didn't want to be put in this situation to have more than 20 snaps and run the football and be used as an athlete, well, damn it, he shouldn't have ran the 40, because that's why Lamar Jackson didn't run the 40, because he didn't want people to know how fast they are, because offensive coordinators get excited and they say, I can do this with him and do that with him. I think if you use him in those 20 snaps, you use him as a wildcat quarterback. And what you do is you try and load the defense to sleep to try and get that one shot. You're setting up that one big explosive play where he's coming like he's going to get hand the ball off and he takes a shot to your fastest receiver down the field. I think they need that because they, you know, without Miles Sanders, they don't have much of a running game and they're going to have to get creative to try and get some yards. But if I'm Carson Wentz, I'm upset because it also disturbs the flow of the offense. It's almost, we see Drew Brees, he's coming in and out of the game. It's hard to establish that rhythm.
Okay, so Take It or Shake It is brought to you by Grainger. This is a date not a lot of people are thinking about. November 3rd is the NFL's trade deadline. And a lot of other sports,
it means...
November 3rd, 4 p.m. Eastern. You should also vote.
Oh, the other thing.
Yes, the other thing. The slightly smaller thing, the NFL trade deadline. 4 p.m. November 3rd. Key, the Cowboys should trade for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Take It or Shake It.
Shake it!
No,
why would you trade for Ryan Fitzpatrick? You're asking somebody to come in from another team in the middle of the season, learn an offense, and get you to the playoffs. You got a guy in Andy Dalton that I personally believe is a better quarterback. He just didn't play well last week, and it showed up. It looked like he was a hot bag of garbage. Ooh. Bad, that means very, very bad and very stinky. Bad.
It was hot.
And so I think Andy Dalton will do better. I believe he'll do better.
You just call Andy Dalton compost, but all good. Listen, I'll tell you what, I'll take it. I'll make the case for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Hell, he's been on so many damn teams. He's probably played in this offense twice, you know, because he's been the quarterback. He's played with almost every coordinator. He's played forever. He does give them a little bit of more athleticism because that offensive line is horrible. He's a guy that is reckless. He doesn't care. He'll run out and he'll get out of the pocket. So I'll make that case for him that he's probably been in this system sometime before with another one of those coordinators.
With Bart's point, Buffalo, Cincinnati, Miami, the Jets, St. Louis, Tampa Bay, jeez, Houston, Tennessee. That's his career. By the way, he's made $71.5 million
exactly
in all of those
stops. Don't feel sorry for him. I don't care about his heart.
Is broken.
Yeah.
That bank account certainly isn't.
Back, yeah, exactly.
The Giants will finish with a better record than the Cowboys. Remember, Giants win tonight. They get to 2 to match Dallas. Key, take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Shake it.
It's no possible. It's not possible. It can't be that the Cowboys' record will be worse than the Giants. But it could happen. But if it does happen, oh, my goodness. Boy, the Cowboys, you can only imagine. That means that I got the Giants winning 4 games this year. So that means the Cowboys are only going to win 3? That's, that'll be tough.
I mean, for me, I'll listen, it's a tough one. You know, you got 2 teams on different. First of all, I'm going to take it. I'm going to say, you know what? You know, the Cowboys may falter, right? Because if you have all this infighting, eventually it starts to eat you out from eat your body up from within. So I think if they're going to have this dissension and start throwing each other the bus, then, you know, it's going to equate to on the field performance. I know it's a talented football team, but they have a lot of tough games left. So I'll take it. I'll say the Giants can get it because the Fighting Joe Judges, because I thought that's what we changed their name to. I thought the Fighting Joe Judges have been playing well and they're in a different part. They respect their coach.
They're looking for 2 straight wins. Wow. All right. Key and NBA, take it or shake it. Ty Lue will be a better coach for the Clippers than his old boss Doc Rivers was. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
Take it.
And the reason I say that is because I believe Ty Lue gets out of the second round. Now, whether or not he wins an NBA title, that's a different story. But I think that they will get out of the second round this year, upcoming season, with Ty Lue and Chauncey Billups running the coaching staff over there for the Clippers. When you look at it, Kawhi Leonard, he bounces back along with PG. Yeah, of course, man. And so people will say he's a better coach than Doc Rivers because they'll get out the second round.
I take it because he's a player coach, and I take it because the subtraction of Doc Rivers means the possible addition of Chris Paul wanting to come home because that was the relationship that was fractured.
Say, man, Chris Paul going to the Lakers?
No, you hear,
finally
you hear you know the rumblings that Kawhi likes Patrick Beverley, but he feels like he's not enough. You need an alpha male in there, somebody that's willing to take the last shot, somebody that's really able to facilitate the offense. So I think because Tyronn Lue is there, I think he comes back with Chris Paul.
Last one, real quick: Steelers Titans game of the week. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
Take it. Battle of unbeatens.
Unbeatens. Ben Roethlisberger, Tanny Hill, Chase Claypool, A.J. Brown, young receivers. Yeah, of course. Game of the week.
I take it because you talk about, you know, really these are two guys or two teams that are built similarly, two tough guys, two coaches, you know what I mean, two tough-minded coaches. But I think the Steelers will have the edge because they have the ability to pull up the quarterback and they have the better quarterback.
I'll go shake it. I'll go 49ers at Pats, the return of Jimmy G to Foxborough, just rooting for the story. It could be interesting. And a reminder, take it or shake it, brought to you by Grainger. Grainger helps your business move forward with supplies and solutions for every industry, safety, recovery guides, 24-7 support, and more. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Great piece on ESPN.com, by the way, on Ben Roethlisberger and Ryan Tannehill, both telling the doubters to shove it. It's a great piece if you want to get a primer for Keys Game of the Week. That's on ESPN.com right now. Still to come, it's your turn. The Browns are... fill in the blank. You let us know. 888-SAY-ESPN or at Key, J, and Z on Twitter. It's your show. Next.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Welcome back to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Bart Scott in for J. Will this morning. We're coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. And again, it is time for A to Z. Le'Veon Bell speaking for the first time as a member of the Kansas City Chiefs after his release from the Jets, going from the NFL's worst team to potentially its best. Here's Bell on coming to work with the best quarterback and one of the best head coaches in football.
It's not too much I can say about as to why it didn't work in New York. It just didn't work out, you know. And the fact that, you know, it didn't, it kind of led me to the position I am here today. And, you know, when I had the opportunity, you know, once I was, you know, a free agent, talking to Coach Reed, just over in that course, it's like, it was just kind of undeniable to try to come here, help this team, you know, any ways that I can help them out. You know, being an opportunity to play with Coach Reed is just going to be, you know, magnificent for me. So play with these players around. Patty Mahomes. I never played with a player, you know, MVP-wise, you know, so it's going to be fun. You know, I think it's a lot of weapons. It's going to be fun for me.
Bart, of course, is a former Jet. Does Le'Veon Bell have any responsibility for the failure in his short tenure with the Jets?
I think just a little bit, but right now when you listen to his comments, you understand that he's been still being professional. He can throw a lot of guys under the bus. There was a narrative about Le'Veon Bell when he left Pittsburgh and he set out that season. He's been nothing but professional and a leader, and I think it's more about the Jets and what they surrounded him with than actually his talent, his ability to still play this game at a high level.
And remember, the tide turned for the Browns and Baker Mayfield came in a couple of years ago in a game against the Jets. Now Baker says he's not worried about the criticism he's receiving on full blast from the media.
I don't give a damn what they say. It's within this building. We know we can be better. I know I can be better. And that's how it's going to be handled. The outside noise doesn't matter. They get paid to talk. We get paid to do our work. So that's how it's going to be handled.
Key, from what I hear, you get paid handsomely to talk as well. What does this statement from Baker say to you?
I like it. I like the fact that he's not worried about the media and what they say. Play football. Do better. And they won't say anything. You just shut them up by playing better. That's all.
That's all from the opinion of Key on Baker Mayfield, who had said, look, we're a 4-2 football team. Yeah, the two games we lost, we got absolutely blitzed by Baltimore and Pittsburgh, but it feels like we're 0-6 and the world is caving in. This is after he said last season was full of chaos and they're ready to put it behind him. Doesn't seem like that's been the case. So Key has weighed in, certainly on what his thoughts are on the Browns, and now it's your chance to weigh in on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. The phone lines are jammed, so let's get right to it. If you can't get to a phone, Key, J, and Z, tweet us. We'll get to it, hopefully, on the air as well. Let's start with Scott in Wilmington, North Carolina. All we're simply asking every caller and tweeter, the Browns are, you fill in the blank. Scott, what do you got?
They are the Ferrari in the parking lot that everyone thinks looks great, but it has a broken down engine. You turn the key, the engine's not going to take you anywhere, the engine being Baker Mayfield. But luckily for them, they finally got a good mechanic, but let him buy a new engine and let him pick his quarterback to take this team where they need to go. Too good of a roster to be where they're at.
Great stuff, Scott. I almost feel like we need an AutoZone mention here with all of that, but we'll get to it sooner or later.
Broken down Ferrari.
What do you think?
Baker Mayfield didn't play well last week. He played well the week before that, played well the week before that. Two games that they played, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, not so good. Great defenses. They're learning how to play professional football. He's learning. It's this guy's third, fourth offensive coordinator in a short period of time. He's polarizing, so people are going to dump on him.
Right, let's get some Bills played. Baker Mayfield needs to get into the zone. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Mark in South Dakota. The Browns are fill in the blank.
The Browns are still a joke. I mean, you got their most, impactful defensive player, Myles Garrett, out there being selfish, swinging helmets.
That was last year.
Baker Mayfield's out there still playing like he was last year. You got Odell. You can't even hit him on a simple slant. I mean, come on, Key. You should throw him the slant like four or five times a game, and then not even try him.
So much to digest there. May I?
Yeah, go right
well,
in.
Well, for me, this is the problem, right? Why he says 4-2 feels like they're 0-6 is because of the division in which they're in, because they're still going to finish third within the division. And every time the Browns take a step up in competition, they understand exactly where they are in their process. So what they are is a wild card team. They're a team that is good, but they're not great. They don't have the capability to take the next step. They're not a real contender to be in the Super Bowl because of the quarterback. Because the quarterback limits your playbook. He limits your ability to be able to open up the playbook and go to the last chapters of it, because he's limiting what he's capable of doing. So when he goes against a better competition, he comes up small and not big. He has more commercials than he has touchdown passes.
Wow.
So my man went to the helmet from last year.
That was in 2019, the swinging of the helmet. Calvin in San Antonio, you're up, man. Browns are?
What's up, guys? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you, man.
But I wanted to say that Browns are a slightly better version of the Cowboys, but they are basically the same team. On paper, they are easily top 10, top 7 on paper, but the play on the field does not match what's on paper.
Yeah, I think the Browns have a better defense than Dallas, and I also think in terms of they're a better football team.
But they're kind of built in their image.
Yeah, they're a little bit better football team without Dak Prescott.
Yeah, great running back. If everybody's healthy, two solid tackles, about the same.
Pittsburgh just stormed Cleveland over the weekend. Mike is in Pittsburgh. He's on ESPN Radio. The Browns are? Mike, we got you?
Predictable.
Predictable?
Predictable.
Okay, go ahead.
Basically, look, it's Manziel 2.0. They need a quarterback. I'm a Steeler fan, so I'm good with it, but they need a quarterback with the talent that they have around them. So management, they're predictable. They'll always be the Browns.
Fair enough.
It's very difficult, and I know everyone wants to say they need a quarterback, which they probably will wind up needing a quarterback. But as of right now, this is the guy that they have. A week ago, prior to the Steeler game, it was fine. They went and beat Indianapolis. The Cowboys before, it was fine. We was like, yay! They lose, and they look bad against the Steelers, and Baker's on the ground. Now it's a problem again.
What's the competition, right? Because when you ask Baker to throw more, then he comes up small. When you don't have Nick Chubb and you don't have Kareem Hunt being able to have 30, 40 carries and do all the heavy lifting for you, and you put it on his shoulders, he can't deliver.
That's why from day one, though, I was telling everybody, Bart, he's not the number one overall pick.
Right.
He just wasn't. But that's the old regime in Cleveland. I don't believe that Kevin Stefanski and general manager Barry would have selected him as the number one overall pick. Not even close.
He's Kirk Cousins.
Ooh. Speaking of, Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin presented by? What's that?
That was a compliment for him.
Kirk and compliment these days aren't going together too well. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin presented by Progressive Insurance. We're in the studio, unlike Baker, who is at home in his Progressive ads, as you know. Speaking of Baker, Who's got the edge this weekend? Baker or Burrow? And a battle in the Buckeye State. Speaking of Buckeyes, Kirk Herbstreit here at 8:30.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.